What's it to be? Fear or love the Lord? In class, we were writing down the things that the Lord will take care of for us. If we seek first God's kingdom, the rest follows. That's in Matthew 6:33. Eternal life is promised in John 3:16. He supplies all our needs, Philippians 4:19, but not all our wants in James 4:3. Our daily bread, our food, Matthew 6:11. Our clothes, Matthew 6:28 through 31. He gives us protection, Psalms 91. He gives us knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. He gives us housing, Proverbs 14:26. It stood out from the last two scriptures that King Solomon wrote in his Proverbs, "Fear the Lord." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. And the other one, Proverbs 14:26, says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Solomon ends his book Ecclesiastes with, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of men." Ecclesiastes 12:13. Then we read what John the Apostle wrote. John loved the Lord and he leaned on the Lord's breast during the Last Supper in John 21:20. He wrote, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear torments. He who fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." 1 John 4:18 and 19. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. 1 John 4:10. Paul wrote to Timothy, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." 2 Timothy 1:7. A sound mind means you can think clearly. However, if you fear, you can make hurried bad decisions. If we have two people, one we fear and the other we love, then who are we automatically drawn to? And who do we like to stay away from? The one we love, we go to. And the one we fear, we might give reference to, but are likely to stay away from. People that fear their boss hate seeing him because anything he says irks us. Although we might like the work that we do, secretly we are looking for another job away from our boss. However, if we love our boss and our work, we like going there. Then we never have to work a day in our life, as we like what we do and like the person we work for. Then what was the thing with King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived? He feared the Lord, but he loved his 700 wives and his 300 extra girlfriends. Fear only keeps you in line for so long, and then you gotta get out. The Lord did not mind him having so many wives, but because he loved them, they eventually turned his heart away from the Lord whom he feared. "Oh, King, I love you. You built me such a big temple for your God. Solo, will you let me build a house also for Astoreth, which is my God? It doesn't have to be so big because your God is the most important. There is no harm in me also having a temple, is there? You allow me, and I will give you some good loving that you will never forget." So the king allowed her to build a temple, and the next thing was, "Oh, Solo, come with me and see the beautiful building that I designed for my God. Come with me, bring some flowers, and we will say a prayer together, and I will reward you again." So there goes Solomon, led by his you-know-what. He must have become a tortured soul towards the end of his life. And that is why he writes so many proverbs about seductive women. "To deliver you from the strange woman which flatters with her words, for her house is on the slope towards death. None that go to her return again." Proverbs 2:16, 18, and 19. And he says in Proverbs 5, verse 3 and 4, "The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a sword." Proverbs 6:26 says, "By the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread," etc., etc. The fear of the Lord did not keep him. When one temple was built, the others also followed, Moloch, Chemos, Milcom, etc. Likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which appeared unto him twice. It says in 1 Kings 11, verses 8 and 9. We fear someone because we expect this person to get angry with us. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, it says in Job 3:25. The Lord got angry with Solomon because of him fearing the Lord. If he would have loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, then his love for the Lord would have protected him. As love is the absolute, unquestionable, greatest power in the world, nothing can conquer love, not even 1,000 women. That fear drove a wedge between him and the Lord. So he followed what he loved, his women. When we look at his father David, he never feared the Lord. He definitely was no angel either and also had many wives, 2 Samuel 5:13. But that did not interfere in his relationship with the Lord because his life and his songs were all about loving the Lord. I will love you, O Lord, my strength, Psalm 18:1. And Psalm 26:8, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your honor dwells. Psalm 31:23, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Psalm 40, verse 16. You that love the Lord, hate evil. Psalm 97, verse 10, etc. Praise comes natural if we love a person. Hey, thanks for doing that. If we fear them, we may be motivated by fear, giving them honor and flowers, but our heart won't be in it and we won't naturally praise them. There's a picture there, and it says, fear is not the opposite of love, it is the absence of love. How is our relationship with the Lord? Is it as Ezekiel writes? They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after greediness and materialism. You are to them a very lovely song. They hear your words, but they don't do them. Ezekiel 33, 31 and 32. I remember being drafted in the army, and when I sincerely asked a legitimate question, the sergeant barked at me with an authoritarian voice, "You are now in the army and you do what you're told." I did not appreciate him talking like that to me, and I decided to get out. After creating some difficulties, I got my discharge after about 5 or 6 weeks. I had a chip on my shoulder about God too, and thought that God was like that, an authoritarian that does not put up with nonsense, and I was full of nonsense. When it came to religion, I was almost like a dog that growls with his hair standing up. It was not until I realized who Jesus was, absolute love, and it dawned on me that he was the embodiment of the Father. I understood that God the Father is not religious at all, but that man made these divisive religions. Jesus loved because the Father was total love. He could restore lives because the Father creates life. Jesus gave his all because the Father gave his all, his one and only Son. Would I give my Son for a bunch of selfish people that hate me? I don't think so, but the Father did. God loved me so very much that he gave his one and only Son, so I would not end up in hell, but by believing in him, I'd have eternal life, in John 3:16. Not maybe, but absolute, 100% total assurance. The Father and the Son gave their all in the hope that we would change our ways and learn again to be loving like children to enter his kingdom, Matthew 18:3. No religion, money or power can get you into God's kingdom, but simply being a little child again. They trust, they love Jesus, they fall, they get up, they cry and then hug, they argue, but 5 minutes later they are again the best of friends. They can give love and encouragement like no other can. When we really love someone, we are willing to defend them, even if it might cost us our life. And we ask ourselves, am I willing to take the bullet for him? Greater love has no man than this, that the man lay down his life for his friends, John 15:13. However, if you fear someone, you're not likely to take the bullet for them, and you might step aside. Moses the lawgiver wrote, that you may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and may cleave to him, for he is your life, Deuteronomy 13:20. King David said, as the deer longs for the water brooks, so my soul longs for you, O God. Psalm 42:1. The Father himself said, I am the Lord your God. I show mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy 5:10. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is equal to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Matthew 22:37-39. We think God is the judge, but he doesn't want to judge us. He has committed all judgment to the Son. John 5:22. That's because Jesus lived with us and understands us. And although Jesus was 100% God, he was also 100% human. And he refused to go along with the crowd who wanted to stone the woman with her extramarital activities. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. John 8:7-11. Jesus said to her, has no man condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. However, outright disobedience causes fear, because if we continue to sin willfully and purposely, after we have received Jesus' love and forgiveness, we become fearful with the prospect of being very ashamed when we see him. Hebrews 10:26-27, Daniel 12:2. If we love the Lord, the only concern, or call it fear if you like, should be, am I doing the Lord's highest will in my life? Is this pleasing to the one who saved my life by taking the bullet for me? Do I need to do more or things different for his family and his children? For the least of these, my brethren? Matthew 25:35-46.
At johanpeters.in, you find 100 pamphlets like these on different subjects. Download A Man of Sufficient Stature, Part 1 and Part 2. These are two short studies about the last days before God's kingdom comes. We have 9 books, 27 audio prophecy bites, 2 to 4 minutes each, a study Bible for your PC and laptop, and much more. All downloads are free, no cookies, and no info requests.